Christmas party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Mean power to maximum. Biogenic generation engaged. Raise the monster.
Yes.
It's time for the
Jingle Show.
All right. After a 2-week hiatus, last week didn't work out too well.
We got the mojo working today.
Today is October
14th.
October the middle of.
Yep.
And the 14th, 2 weeks till Halloween.
Yep.
A lot of things to talk about. We had a lot of makeup to do.
Yep.
We've got Counselor Curtis here with us today.
Hey.
And Engineer Eric running the.
Come try ya.
That's right, running the board. And we're expecting Jack.
Yes.
Any moment. Jack's running a little late.
Again, you'll hear the tires screeching.
That's right. Jack will be in. Anyway, a lot of things to talk about. New trade gap. It's another record. YouTube and Google, big deal. Also financing Islamic, the way they loan money around here. The Korea thing.
Right.
Lots of stuff about Korea. And then also, as far as the election is concerned, big news in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
One of our great places. They listen to us all the time. More on the Medicare prescription plan.
Right.
Some things that Bush finds unacceptable. We got to find out about that. A new law in Turkey. I don't know if this goes into lightness or not, but new crimes in Turkey. Thought crimes in Turkey. The feds are after people who try and use non-money for money. And also, we talked about a couple times ago about the sport betting, the gambling, internet gambling.
Right.
More news on that. New York City is going to try and address the homeless problem. Good luck. And the FDA is going to cure us all and make sure that we don't eat any more E. coli raw. Also, more about the Katrina update about the insurance people. A new psychiatrist's thing about shopaholics. New disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the last that I've got, and before we get to the light notes, is a cult of the backyard rocketeers. We're all going to space. Well, I did mention, forgetting one thing that we might want to start off with, and that is Air America.
Yeah, off the air.
Soon to be. But in the meantime, while I'm thinking about this, let me welcome Gino. God love you, Gino. Saw you come on. Our loyal listener. By God, Gino, love you to death. And Patricia from Ocala. She writes us regularly. Also, Amy. We got a new Amy in Basalt, Colorado.
And in fact, she was visiting the Hangar Dogs, and I believe dropped off some jalapeno beer. Which is why their podcast was a day late. But they did. They gave us a nice shout out. And of course, we love the Hangar Dogs. Go to hangardogs.com.
That's right. Go to hangardogs.com.
And they got their last show was really funny. I was rolling on it.
I have unfortunately not quite gotten there yet.
You waited, Jamie.
Well, I was at good garage sales today. You see my new lava lamp?
Which
is not working. I paid $1 for that lava lamp.
Worth every penny.
I noticed there's a warning label that says do not drink. Seriously, there's a warning label that says don't drink this stuff. So I'm stuck. I don't know. It was $1. I'm not sure I'm going to
take
that.
Well, I can tell you obviously saw that label because there's a bunch of bottle opener scars on the top of it
if you're trying to
get it open.
Well, also, let me just mention real quick here. We are doing very well in the Webstat department.
Mm-hmm.
Things are improving.
Had like a record Friday the other day.
Record Friday, yes. We're doing well, and we're might have to actually end up paying some more money for bandwidth. Who knows?
Bandwidth.
Which we don't know. We're going to get the money. Morocco is back with us. Korea, Seoul, Korea again. Egypt, Cairo. Yes. As usual, Murfreesboro and Oklahoma City, as always. I noticed that lot from the UK. Tarzana, California is kind of a new one. Somebody searched on asteroid versus car wreck statistics. What, I mean, seriously, and we came up.
Yeah.
I went over to Dogpile, for instance. I found out that when you go to Dogpile and look under Libertarian Podcast,
uh-huh.
we are like, all of us, we have like 8 out of the 10.
Right.
Or 9 out
Woo-hoo!
Of the... No, I'm serious. It says Jimmy Doan, Jimmy Doan, Jimmy Doan, and then it says somebody else, not Jimmy Doan.
Right.
And then it's a Jimmy Doan, Jimmy Doan. You know, it's all the different stuff we've done.
Yeah, people are getting the hint.
No, that's, you know, it's we're easy to find, so...
Tell your friends.
Gino just wrote in and said for us to drink. Drink the lamb. He just wrote it. Gino
drink
wrote,
the lamb.
Gino, I am the...
drink the lamb.
Drink the lava lamb. Thank you, Gino. Appreciate that.
If you want to IM us, what's the IM?
Oh, that's right. You can
Jimmy
IM
Jimmy Doan Show at AOL.com.
That's right. Jimmy Doan Show
and
at AOL.
If you want to try to call us, I'm worried about that, but it's 1-800-1-866-95-JIMMY.
Yeah, whichever that is.
It's like something 69 is the last two digits I
You
remember.
Would remember that. Oh, dude. You know, it's a little
you guys.
You okay. guys.
I want to talk before we get on to. Oh, the other thing, I did have something here. Florida, this is what a legal thing. This has to do with the new video game. I forgot that on our list, which okay. they're going to try and ban that. Which is before I get started here. How about Air America files for bankruptcy?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Okay, well, you know, this is the Al Franken thing, and they were going to balance off against Rush Limbaugh, and they said that they were going to. You know, have a liberal talk show.
Mm-hmm.
They're on XM, I think, also.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to him for a little while. And actually, Al Franken's funny. I've actually bought his books.
Yeah, I think he's pretty funny.
He is a funny guy.
Yeah.
I think it's funny when they parody on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's right. Even funnier.
But, I mean, they went bankrupt. They never made
it. He's funnier
goal.
As the object of a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
The subject.
But they've lost $40 million. And of course, he's not collected a wage. He's $360,000 in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was a dollar
Good
a year
news,
man.
Everyone.
That's right. Exactly right. No, but, I mean, the thing about this that I find fascinating is that Neil Bortz, of course, has been saying, please contribute to this because otherwise they're panic stricken that the fairness doctrine is going to rear its ugly head again.
Right. They'll have a monopoly on libertarian talk or conservative talk shows.
Well, no, what they're going to try and do is to say, if you have a conservative talk show, this is the fairness doctrine when it first came on, I think it was in the 70s, and then it got ashcanned because it was such a disaster. The deal is that if you have a radio station licensed by the FCC, owned by the United States government, you don't actually own that frequency, and you have to do fair things. You have to run a certain amount of public service announcements. You have to run a certain amount of kiddie programming. All the stations. That's one of the reasons why at 3:30 in the morning, every Sunday morning, starting about 3:30 until about 7:30, everybody runs religion. Because that's their deal, that they fill the pot. They to satisfy
they get
the
their religious quota.
Yeah, their religious quota, right. And they do it when they're like off the air or something, you know, when nobody's listening.
When you need religion at 4 a.m.
Right. That's right. You need it then. That's right. As you are crawling home.
From the Las Vegas strip club.
That's right. And we're going to have something about Las Vegas here later. Anyway, the deal is that the fairness doctrine was supposed to be, if you interviewed Mr. Libertarian, that you had to, by law, interview Mr. Communist.
Mm-hmm.
Same amount of time, equal time provisions. I suppose what that meant was if you interviewed somebody that said that there were satellites around the Earth and that that the Earth was a globe, that you had to interview somebody from the Flat Earth Society as a counterattack, counterweight.
You would think.
You would think. Well, anyway, it turns out that was the kind of stuff that was happening, so they ash-canned it. And now, and of course, as you know, the conservative, everybody that listens to talk shows listens pretty much to conservative talk shows. I don't think that there's 4 liberal ones in the country.
No, well, the liberals don't need talk shows on radio because they have them all on TV.
Well, that's true. It's called news.
Right.
And no, but they don't see it that way, obviously. One of the things that we've talked about is that when a person's ego or livelihood is tied up in a mythology, they'll go with the mythology every time. I mean, there's no question about it. You can slap them in the face all day long with the truth, and then their mind will not allow
beat
them.
Beat them with the
yeah,
truth.
You can no, beat them over the head with the truth, and they won't be able to say, again, that
And then
happened.
Run them over with the
it's
truth.
It's called denial. I mean, this is what alcoholism is all about and liberalism it's all about. It's the same thing. You need a 12-step program, for God's sakes, you know, to get out of the thing. I mean, they need like to slap them upside the head, and it's just no question about it. It should be a 12-step program for liberals. That's right. So anyway, the deal is that what they're panic-stricken about is now that they're going off the air, that they're going to run to Congress and say, see, we can't make it. They're not going to put it this way, but basically they're going to say, look, there's no liberal voice anymore.
Give us money or
Give
charge
us money
them
or
time.
Charge them. Oh, right, exactly. They now need to. They have to provide us equal time. And
well,
of course,
I think McCain-Feingold has some serious provision in there where it's criminal if you don't give the equal time.
It, the Well, that is political stuff. Of course, that's what they're saying. They want to take Russia. They want to take this show, for instance, even. You know, of course, we're not. We're not on the air, actually. We're on the, you know, we're on the electron thing, the fiber optic something. Yeah.
We're on cable.
We're on cable. That's right. We're on. It leads right out of this house. The show, I don't know if you notice this, but the yard is filling up out here with our show. It's spilling out on the ground. Right. Yeah. So anyway, the deal is that what they're going to try and do is to make the radio stations that carry Rush and Neil and people like that, they're going to now going to have to carry some other counterbalancing type thing.
That's horseshit.
Well, not only that, where do you find the people, number one? And number two, the radio station's not too crazy about that since everybody will immediately go to turn their radios off and listen to their iPod.
Right.
And listen to us, for instance.
Absolutely.
Which actually could be a good deal.
Hey, I want equal time for us.
I'm sorry.
We need to get equal time. We need to call up somebody.
Yeah,
that's good.
we'll do it anyway. So they're going. That's as always expected. They're going down the toilet. Okay. What's the next thing? What's the first thing that we want to talk? Now I don't even have it in order here yet. I've screwed up.
The trade gap.
This is a typical case of. Let me just see here. Just a minute. Did I get it out of here? Okay, I'm going to do this from memory. It's here someplace.
The trade gap sets another
new record
high.
$69 billion. Mm-hmm. Was it for the quarter or for the month?
Says month.
For the month, okay.
It sounds like a lot, though.
It is a lot. And, of course, one of the things that people fail to remember is that the dollar is only legal tender in the United States. So the $69 billion that is sitting around who knows where it is... It's not that big a deal. That money they got.
It was amazing. I was watching the news the other day, and some guy, some author about something.
Way to zero in on it.
He was on the news, and he goes. The guy asked him, you know, goes, "What about this Chinese, you know, deficit? Oh my gosh!" And he goes, "No." He goes, "Actually, that would be absorbed really quickly, right back into the market." And he goes, "You know, within three quarters, it'd be done." You know.
Yeah.
So. No. If you look at our top 20 trading partners, we run a deficit with like all of them.
Do we?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's hundreds of billions.
Right, that's what I mean, hundreds of billions. And so let's say if we were generous, we'd say $1 trillion goes overseas.
No, as I recall, to be honest with you, I think that the annual trade deficit is somewhere around 10 times, only 10. It's around $700 billion.
Right. So even, okay, if it's that much, and our economy is what, a $5 trillion economy?
10.
Okay.
Actually, 12 trillion.
Okay, wow. So a tenth or less than a tenth is going overseas. Big deal.
It has to come back, of course. But the thing is, how do they spend the money here? And, of course, the worry is that they're buying up the companies here. They're buying up Rockefeller Center, or they're buying up IBM, or Treasury bonds. And the worry is that suddenly they'll decide that they don't want Treasury bonds anymore, and they'll dump them, and the price, of course, Treasury bonds will tank at that point. Mm-hmm. There will be a buyer. I would buy them. I would buy $1,000 Treasury bond for $500. Who wouldn't? Mm-hmm. But what that means is the interest rate goes to 20%. So, I mean, it all works out. It's the market. It is the market.
So what are they worried about when they cry that there's a trade gap there, that the foreigners have some control over an economy, they can disrupt
that's
it in
what,
some
that's
way?
What that's what they're taught. People that don't know anything about economics, which is almost everybody, including a lot of economists, they think that somehow that money's like gone away. You know, it's just disappeared into thin air. Or that it's being sent over there and they're getting to use the money instead of us or something.
Or they're shoving in their mattresses or something like that.
Well, that actually wouldn't be the, you know, if they want to do that, that's fine. I mean, that's no big deal. But the point is that the trade deficit is neither good nor bad. One of the things that you have to understand is we have been running a trade deficit for 30 years. How bad can it be? Mm-hmm. I mean, 30 years is. I ask you, listener, mm-hmm. are you worse off today than you were 30 years ago? We have run a trade deficit. I know virtually every single year for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't tell you, if a trade, the opposite of trade, you know, trade undeficit, you know, trade positive or whatever,
surplus,
yeah, is such a good thing. Then why isn't everybody in the Caribbean, the people that we run? Surpluses with or whatever, you know, what's the story on those people? I mean, there are a lot of countries, they're mostly peeny little places that are running trade deficits with us, that we actually sell them more stuff than they sell to us. I mean, it's neither good nor bad. There are other things. The market figures it out. A free market figures it all out. It's only when you try and monkey with it, when you try and subsidize one way or the other, And is I found a new quote site that has great quotes on it. Ludwig von Mises and these other people were saying that protectionism isn't just another way of doing war. And if you do enough of it, you're going to end up in guns and no butter type war. So anyway, the trade deficit is not a problem. And it's just interesting to see the mainstream media, most of the mainstream media. And a lot of even people that are economists don't understand that it's not that big a deal. If it was that big a deal, we'd have been broke 25 years ago, 5 years after it started. We have not run a surplus for at least 30 years.
It seems like we give them money and they give us stuff. So, I mean, you know, stuff.
And stuff is good. Stuff is what makes you rich. I mean, you can have, as we've seen, you could go to the Congo and you can have all the diamonds and gold and platinum buried in the ground all day long. They're still poor as church mice, poorer than church mice. You wish you were a church mouse. You would be rich, you know, in the Congo. But you've got to actually do something with this stuff.
We're going to take a break here in a few minutes. Wait a minute.
I knew that.
But, so we'll come back and...
We'll be on the next subject.
Yeah, something like that.
And now another...
Playing the Beatles, of course, reminds me, of the next thing. That's the Google YouTube thing. And I want to get it some, because we're playing music. We're not exactly paying ASCAP yet.
Shut up.
Well, anyway, so the deal is that YouTube, as you know, has got like 100 million visitors a day. Uh-huh. And a lot of the stuff is there's a chance that some of it might be copyrighted, correct? And then Google goes and spends $1.6 billion to buy them up. In other words, these guys, the two guys, Chad and Jeremy, or whoever they were.
They want to put a hot tub in their 737.
Yeah, right. they're gonna
get it.
Oh, no question. No question about it. I mean, they're going to have, what they'll do is they'll have the 737, and then in the back of it, they'll have like a spare jet.
Right.
in case they need to bail, right, you know, right, something right. like that.
No, just rip out all the seats and fill it with water.
That's right. It'd be like that. We need to get some transparent aluminum like Scotty did.
Exactly.
So anyway, the deal is that they're getting a good payday for 19 months' work. They're getting about $300-400 million each.
The YouTube people.
The YouTube, right. But Google bought it. And, of course, nobody was suing YouTube for a while because guess what? They had no money. I mean, they'd gotten a couple of $1 million in venture capital to put it together to get the servers and everything like that. 100 million visitors. Everybody in the world is there. The question I have, of course, is... how duplicatable is this? What's the big mo? I mean, it could go down the toilet. People are asking, is this another bubble? One of the things that is different, a little bit different from the 2000 bubble that I was lucky enough to bail out of because mm-hmm. I had to pay for somebody's college. But anyway, the deal is that Google bought them, and Google paid about 0.09% of their net worth for the entire thing. So if it goes down the toilet, if YouTube goes down the toilet, they haven't lost anything that way. Right. The problem, of course, obviously, is if somebody sues them.
Right.
I guess. So what's the deal?
So somebody was trying to the other day.
Well,
look, wherever the money is, you're going to have a lawsuit there. You know, they're making $1.6 billion. Somebody's going to want a piece of the pie.
It's nothing a lawsuit won't cure.
Exactly. Right. The deal is this. Anytime that you fix anything in a tangible medium... Fix an idea in a tangible medium, for example, record something for YouTube, you have copyrighted it. Everything on there is copyrighted. Now, there's a second type of copyright where you file for the copyright. That is to say, you register your work with the Copyright Office. When you do that, you're entitled to a lot greater damages if somebody rips you off. Now, what I'm guessing is that when you post something on YouTube, they've got a little thing that says, click here to waive all your rights as to whatever it is you're posting. And It may not be. That's probably what they're going to try to have to
it
break.
It was my ex-girlfriend naked when she was sleeping.
No, no, but my...
No. Well, no, that's going to be a problem, because right. I waive all those rights, but she doesn't.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
No, that's the thing I get. The thing is, for instance, if you were to... I don't know about whether this comes under fair use or not, but let's say you were to record 5 minutes of Meet the Press, and you were to comment on it as they do in Misty 3000, for
right,
instance.
Right.
So you see Tim Russert, he's talking to people, and then you're doing the Misty.
And you're drawing a big mustache on
right,
him,
exactly. Right? Something along. So the question, and of course, that's copyrighted to Beat the Band, right? So.
Well, to some extent, if you alter the work to a degree, to a big enough degree, it becomes its own independent thing. And that's what you claim if you're on the side of the creator. You say, well, no, this isn't Tim Russert. This is my comedy show. I just use a little bit of Tim Russert.
Let me tell you. You should remember this, my son, my other person there. You should remember that there was a band that took a riff, I think, and modified the crap out of it, and they got sued. Somebody found out about it.
It happens all the time, but there are also ones that where they lost.
And they got money from
Vanilla Ice paid Queen for his doon 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 doon. I'm pretty sure for
yeah
Ice
he
Ice
did
Baby.
He did that was all arranged previous to his release of that.
Oh, really?
But like Billy Ocean released Caribbean Queen and Michael Jackson released Billie Jean. And if you were listening to those two things side by side, you'll hear it's almost exactly the same background music. But the Billy Ocean song is different enough so that they called it its own thing.
Well, I was talking about the one where they sampled.
They sampled
the riff, and then but then they rubber banded it somehow. But somehow the band that did the original riff, they recognized it and like reverse engineered and said they stole it from us, and they won.
Right.
Well, so I mean that's you talking about changing something. I mean, who would have known except the original band?
Well,
nobody else would have known.
And sometimes you get the people running in there. I saw the other day they decried this girl because her book was like several other people's books.
Yeah, I've seen that
before.
Well,
I'm thinking if it's like several other people's books, then it's like her own thing, isn't it? Because it's not like any one of their books.
I wrote this book one time. It had a cover and it had pages in it.
Seriously, that's the kind of stuff they said. I mean, I remember one of the quotes was, these eyes were so dark, they were almost black. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I've said that. I mean,
did you copyright it?
Yeah, I mean, she's ripping me off.
In the morning, that's what you say.
Right.
We're so dark, they're almost black.
You guys are all on the same page. I see where Gino wrote in, said Vanilla Ice. All right. Thank you, Gino. God love you.
So that's the gray area, though. And you try to argue, if you're the creator, that you've changed it, man.
Okay, well, so anyway, the deal is, though, that I don't know how much of that stuff, but you think with 100 million videos or something, there's fertile room for suits.
Hey, whenever you make $1 billion in any industry in the United States,
there's hurdle suit.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. You have a lawyer on retainer, and that's what he does. Sits around and answers those calls. You know, he gets those letters and he writes back, you know, F off.
I see. That's a form letter.
That's a form letter.
In so many words.
F for form is what.
That's right. Okay, that's right. But of course, he does it in 14 pages.
Well, sure, why not? Yeah, well, I'd do it in one. I mean,
one.
Did you see that? Did you see that one that was circulating on the internet? The guy that hand wrote out his divorce settlement.
Oh God, that was the funniest thing.
Oh, it was hysterical. I'm going to post it on our show.
Yeah, do a link to that. This is the funniest thing I have ever. We got that from Hanger Dogs.
Didn't they send us that?
The Hanger Dog. Well, you also saw the one. Speaking of things that we
saw. I saw that. I thought that was one of our other guests' actual marriage settlement agreement.
Oh no, we'll link to that. You will see that. But the other thing we need to link to, though, is the patriotism thing.
The
Muslims for next to this coming tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big naked march for women.
Oh, the big naked march for women. That's right, right.
That's
right,
tomorrow.
Right, right.
Show your patriotism.
Show your patriotism. Well, you know, they're supposed to commit suicide or die or something if you're not allowed to see a naked woman. So the idea is at 4, I think it's 4 o'clock tomorrow Eastern time, all
man
women,
on the street. Man on the street, Jimmy, go down there.
Yeah. Well, all the women are supposed to run out naked, and I think they're supposed to, because you're not allowed to drink either, I think they're supposed to be carrying a six-pack of beer
with them.
The
guys are supposed to sit on the front porch showing that they can actually view the women and drinking a six-pack of beer.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
We
need to send that, put that thing on there, too, because all the pictures I got. That was good. Okay, moving on. What's next? Do I have Islamic safe
finance?
This, I thought... The only reason I brought this up, it was interesting to me, was the because of Islam, we just talked about the fact that the 72 virgins, whatever it is, they have a rule that says you can't be a lender or a borrower. one of the sort of things. So how do you make any money? So they've apparently now have come up with a way to circumvent interest paying and doing. And I thought to myself, this is so shallow in a way. I mean, if you just because you don't call it interest doesn't mean that it isn't. I mean, if it walks like a duck, it is. So anyway, they've got this way now that they can invest, and they've got some special equity funds and so forth that claim that they're not in debt and they pay no interest. So, Mr. Islamic person, put your money here. And I thought, boy, what a deal that is if you could borrow money for nothing and then you don't loan it out, but you, I don't know what you do. I mean, I guess you spend it on something like the, well, I would say a good place would be the donation on our website, and you could certainly, we'll take care of it, and we won't charge anything for that. We'll use it for our South Sea vacation. I just thought that it was interesting that...
Well, I think it's an excellent example of the market at work. I mean, here's a group of investors who...
But I can't call anything an investment if you're not going to get a return on it. I guess
They get a return. They just say that they're not getting interest, like you said. They're getting a return. It may not be in the form of interest on the balance sheet as an interest payment.
Yeah, it's a growth thing. And,
right. Speaking of return...
we'll be right back.
Here's a little one for you, Gino. This is Gino on guitar for all you listeners out there.
Scary, yeah, we are.
But it's a game day today. Gators are 6-0 now.
Yeah, well, of course, they talked about this before. This has happened so many times. The Gators have gotten up to their number two,
right,
and then
boom,
go. That's right down the toilet. So anyway, that song needed more cowbell. I think that song just played. Anyway, here's it on North Korea. North Korea, big deal. I thought it was something here. I'm asking myself, what's going on here? Why is this news?
Well, we have a tape, actually, which we've obtained from inside Korea.
Really?
Yes.
Because now this is
from one of our web people ripped it off out of a video cam from inside. We have the audio here, which we can play.
Okay.
Hajime Korea so dakedo korero no kanji no tara dera kanderi zai sa ochimama. Hara kochiren tsuko hajime dokira so goru kirashite tara.
And there they go.
There they go. That was good. So they did say a lot
of
things.
You think that he actually lit one off?
That was a good one though. There was a lot of beans in that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, they let one off.
They did.
Yeah, because they picked it up. Yeah, man.
Like you made it a little bigger. Now he was like.
Yeah, a little.
You can smell it over in Japan.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
They said they traced some radium, right?
Yeah, I know, but I think
seismic wave.
Well, the seismic wave, but I also think that they sniffed some radioactive material in the air.
Well, really?
I think what happened was one of the guys broke his watch.
His Rolex.
And the radium, you know, the little radium flaked out on the thing. I think that was the. So not much to. But anyway, the headlines are U.S. meets resistance. This is from the UN, and then the next one is the U.S. softens. Proposal, and then the final thing I thought here was interesting, and that is Bush confounded by the word unacceptable. I mean, you know what is amazing?
The word unacceptable, it's unacceptable.
That's what, no, seriously, that's what I'm here. One of the...
unacceptable.
Vitaly Churkin, the Russian ambassador, said he'd asked Mr. Bolton this morning not to call for a vote, but what happened, happened. Oh, thank you so much for that. Anyway, they all want to see the final text. Some places we agree and some places we disagree. This is all in the thing. This is the high-level UN people talk. Well, there's some places we agree and some places we disagree. Okay, good. And, you know, thank you so much for that.
What you saying?
What you saying?
Yeah, what you're saying is, I don't know what you're saying. But anyway, the deal is, it turns out that I don't think they were supposed to vote on it today, actually. They're going to meet on a Saturday, which means that I guess they're going to park and get tickets and have tickets all. But there's going to, apparently, the things that are going to be banned are luxury goods, you know, Louis Vuitton purses for the elite in Korea. But unlike the early version, it would allow but not require inspections of all cargo going into or out of North Korea or freezing the assets related to counterfeiting or narcotics. They're going to let that go.
Right.
So that's okay.
Well, that's good.
So I'm wondering what the, excuse me, just a second. Mute me. Do you need some water?
No problem. So how are you doing there, counselor?
Not bad. I got my water.
Yeah, right. That's good. Yeah, me too.
A little heavy water, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's
a little heavy
right.
water.
So anyway, they say one, you want to do this peacefully. One can say that punishment isn't the goal. On and on. It's just so funny because
punishment's not the goal. Then what is the goal if it's not punishment?
Well, the thing about it is, what can you do? You can do nothing. I mean, they
invade is all you can do.
All the talk about this is so funny. But the thing that I get about this is one of the headlines was Bush is confounded by unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
He said that what the North Koreans are doing is unacceptable. Well. But
except
they're
he's accepting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about it. This to me, it shows
just,
you that...
As the hangar dog said, he's just all upset because we won't let him in the nuclear club yet.
Well, he's in.
Well, yeah, but we haven't officially let him in.
He's going to bust down the door. It's going to be a no-knock entry is what it's going to be. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. You know,
what crazy guy like me trying to do? I was doing this thing. I have story on the front page of the paper. I let a bomb.
That's right.
What so, more you want?
No, it's just the whole thing is so funny to me that they they're talking about how this is unacceptable. They're not going to let it go, but they are. And of course, the Chinese and the Russians are right on the border there,
right?
And they have their big trading partners.
Yeah, but they can move back.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
got plenty of room over there. Not hurting on real estate.
No, that's right. A little tectonic shift there.
Yeah, exactly.
Move the.
That's what they should do. Is put the. What do you call it? Put the bombs right there, right on the little borderline, and then maybe they can just kind of bust off there and just have like another Japan island.
It was the thing we talked about before.
Very pretty good.
Well, they got a million man army in the North Korea, and they got a billion people in China. All they have to do is get on the border and push.
Right.
They get enough people, mm-hmm. they just push. Mm-hmm. Like as we were talking about when we wanted to move the Mississippi River.
Right.
They just push, and it just kind of shoves it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a big chasm,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some hot magma.
magma
coming up to the, yeah. So anyway, that's enough of that. Done. The next thing that I want to talk about was the election in 2008, which has already started practically. One of the things that
we're skipping right over 06 election, huh?
Yeah, no, done. Jimmy is, of course, hoping, and Ms. Jimmy doesn't like this idea, but I'm hoping that the Democrats womp them.
Right.
And that way everybody will get a taste of what communism really is like,
right.
and then
maybe they can like finally put to rest the Medicare and the school systems and all that stuff and the health care issues. And,
right, that's right.
Just break the bank immediately.
That's what I'm saying. We all know this can be broken, so you might as well just sooner than later get it over with. Boom, done, and then we can get
start
on with our
fresh.
Life. Right. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the deal is that the big news is that Nevada. One of our big, we have lots of listeners from Nevada,
mm-hmm.
and we love it too. This is going to be great. I love this whole thing, though. Nevada is feeling the political glow of the 08 spotlight. Why? Because they are the second primary. Now, as you well know, that one of the things that people do is we go to Iowa, they've already been going to Iowa and saying, I love corn, I love ethanol, the whole world ought to be buried in corn and ethanol. That's so that they try and get the Iowa caucuses so that you can get the big mo and move on to New Hampshire, where you say, I love snow, I love cold, I love whatever New Hampshire does, maple syrup, I don't know. And so they, in order to get the delegates for the convention. Well, there's a hooker in the oil here because Nevada has come in between those two. And so everybody's running out to Nevada. Well, what do you promote in Nevada? Hello.
The mob.
Yeah. I think it is interesting. Of course, Harry Reid, who desperately wants to be head of the Senate, right? Senator Reid, he wants to take Bill Frist's place. And so he's, of course, the Nevada primary. I think it's a caucus. And needless to say, the people that are after them that have been in the the limelight previously, i.e. South Carolina and New Hampshire, who usually come right after Iowa. And so people go to those places big time. Well, now they're going to be shoved down the list because everybody's going to run up to Nevada. And who wouldn't? I mean, think about it. Nevada.
I have to go to Vegas.
Yeah, right. Gosh, honey, I really got to go because, you know, the caucus. And the way the caucuses work is you have to travel, like, over the whole state. The thing you don't understand is that if you understand one thing is we're leaving.
Go ahead. Well, we'll be back in a minute.
Okay. The whole 90% of the state, you don't go there anyway because it's all fed.
Right.
So you're going to have to go to Las Vegas. And I guess you have to court the strippers. I'm in. I want to be a delegate.
All right. We'll be right back.
Be right back. On this Nevada thing, which I think we might have to go out there and take a look. The name of the Democratic candidate for governor is Dina Titz, which I... No, it's... It is. It's... And
oh, man.
And no, I'm serious. I'm sitting here looking at it.
No, I'm serious.
Titus. I'm sorry. It's Titus. Dina Titus is tattooed on the brain of every Democrat who wants to be president because of Nevada's newly vaunted position in the 2008... But I...
That's Titus.
Oh, is it? It sure looked like tits to me. Somebody needs to pull up her picture here, and I'll
go to Wikipedia and see how it's pronounced. Or
that's right. Large. Anyway, the big deal out there, of course, they have a large Hispanic population, large Asian population. One of the things that Nevada doesn't have a large population. I mean, when you're talking about everybody lives in Las Vegas, right? Pretty much.
Reno.
But Reno's
tiny. Hey,
oh, teeny.
Yeah.
Everybody's in Las Vegas. What do they got, a million people in the whole state or something like that? I mean, it can't be.
You could probably see Las Vegas at night from outer space.
Yeah, I bet you could. Anyway, it says, meanwhile, Democratic attention remains fixed on Mrs. Titz. The attention for national candidates has raised Mrs. Titz's profile, garnered free publicity, and energized her butt base. I thought it's just. No, it's here in the article. I'm reading the article. It's not, you know.
Did you write that article?
No. This is a legitimate. I printed it out on my printer. Okay, right, moving along.
Done with that.
Okay, enough of that. Democrats
email us at jimmy@jimmydone.com.
That's right. That's exactly right. So anyway, the Democrats disputes the Medicare prescription plan calculations. This is another thing that I thought was fascinating. If the
what was that?
The Democrats are disputing the calculations that have been made about the Medicare prescription plan now. They don't believe them. They're saying, look, your copay or your monthly premium or whatever is not going to be $24 a month. It's going to be $24.50 or $29 or whatever it is. I mean, you talk about rearranging these chairs on the deck of the Titanic. This is. I mean, seriously, these guys are Representative Henry A. Waxman, and of course he's going to be in a couple of, you know, January 20th or whenever the election's over, if assuming that the Dems take over the House, he's going to be a big deal. I mean, he's going to be head of something that's going to make this happen. Mm-hmm. But the deal is they're arguing about this copay or this the money that you're supposed to come up with when it's broke. The system is broken. It's an unfunded liability of trillions of dollars, and it doesn't matter if you had to come up with an average of $240 a month. The thing's still broken. It's not going to make it. Nobody's going to get what they think they're going to get. If they think they're going to go in and get a lung transplant, you're out of your mind. You maybe get your fingernails clipped under the HMO thing or whatever it is, but that's about it. I'm telling you, it is.
And only by a licensed fingernail clip.
Oh, which of course brings up the usual, and that is, isn't it interesting that the people, who write the licensing, hello, the tongue has gone completely out of control here.
The tongue is mixed out of gear.
It's gone completely whack job. And it's interesting that in order to make be qualified to be a
Clipician.
Mm-hmm. The person that makes those qualifications has no qualifications.
Right.
The zero.
Right.
In order to write the qualifications, right, that person who writes the qualifications
never even clipped their own fingernails.
No, then has no qualifications, right, and can be a convicted felon.
Right.
So
you can't get like a degree in licensing?
No,
like
no,
a bachelor's degree?
Well, you certainly don't have to have a degree in... You can get a degree in government. That doesn't mean you're going to get elected. You can't get a... Your only degree in getting elected is getting elected. I think that's probably it. You know, the diploma is the course or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so much for that. The one I want to say was this Henry Waxman, as usual. They call him the nostril or hair nostril guy or something like that. He's got a big, huge nose with a lot of hair in it. Anyway, the deal is that they talk about the committee, the staff, and so forth. And the bottom line is it's all broken anyway. It doesn't matter a hoot. They spent all this paper and ink, and I did too, which is really a terrible thing.
You wasted an expensive ink.
Piece of, an ex- right. And I didn't even write anything on the other side. So okay, moving along. This actually is two things I want to talk about. That is parents worrying that their children spend too much time on the internet, fearing that they might view inappropriate content or be contacted by unsavory characters. And they don't understand that.
Well,
they,
this is like the fear of letting your child go outside or something.
No, what they're worried about is that parents are. This is a legal question I want to ask you about. Are the parents responsible for what their kids do online? Let's say a kid does something online that's illegal.
For the most part, the kid is still liable for anything that you do illegal these days.
But I mean, your 8-year-old gets on and does something really.
Well, like what? I mean, let's say they hack into some computer and cause $500,000.
Maybe they expose some secret. You know, they publish the Pentagon Papers. No, they go next door and see that Mrs. Jones is screwing Mr. Bob or somebody that's not related and happens to put that on their MySpace or whatever, the picture.
Children are liable in this country for anything that they do. The parents are not liable yet for what their parents do, even if the parent has allowed them to do it.
For the
most part, yeah. You know, even if your child takes your car and drives off and smashes into something, the child is the one that drove without a license and smashed into something and all this stuff. And the parent's not liable yet.
You're kidding.
Although I did see a thing recently where schools were sending the parents to detention when they were late. When the kids were late to school. We'll be right back.
Yeah. How long is this one? Always with me. If I'm right or wrong now, nobody but you.
Sounds like New Orleans.
But yeah. Okay, just got a couple minutes. I just wanted to finish up on a couple things about legal things. One is the kids in school created this webpage that defamed the assistant principal and she's suing the parents for not monitoring their internet.
Well, now see, that's tort law. That's different from criminal law. You may be responsible. They may be able to bootstrap a parent in there on some sort of tort law.
Yeah, that's right. Jackbooted strap. Okay, good.
No.
That's right. I like the strap part. Leather. I'm into leather. Leather strap with the assistant principal.
I'm muting Jimmy's mic right now.
Yeah, it's for the rest of the show.
That's right.
So anyway,
you're in the background.
That's right. Well, anyway, the next thing is that's really fascinating to me is the Florida judge gets stuff on Bully. Apparently, there's a new DVD, PlayStation, PS2, whatever it is, game.
Oh right, yeah.
And it's been apparently it's pretty violent. Apparently, actually, it's not. But if somebody has said. That somebody's come up and parent or whatever says, look, we don't want this to be in stores, and they're asking the judge to grant an injunction.
This is the video game where you get to go into the high school and shoot everybody up.
Well, no. You get to, apparently what you do is
high caliber Columbine.
The question is, apparently that is not there, but the question is, what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So you did that. You don't have one called Bully. You have one called Columbine.
Right.
So
high caliber high school.
That's right. So what do you do? What's the law?
High caliber high school.
Well, what you do? I think you let them play the game. I mean, that's where they get their frustrations out, and they don't do it for real.
They learn how to do it.
They learn how to do it. It doesn't take much. All you got to do is point and click.
What you do is you have on there. You have how to disassemble and assemble an AK-47 and that kind of, and where to get it and the number to dial. Click here and give your parents' credit card number, and it'll come to your house.
Well, that's sort of a good product placement. We need to think about that.
product placement. We need to have Jimmy Doan Show come up on one of those things.
Bring him to the Remington site or something.
We're going to have a whole other hour here, and then maybe some. Probably, actually, it's a lot after for our podcast people. So,
what?
We got another hour to go.
Okay, good.
We're going to wrap it up here. And we'll be,
you can email Jimmy
at JimmyDoan.com or
you can go to JimmyDoanShow at AOL. If you want to, instant message.
Right, instant message. All right, we'll be back. I figure it's nice and appropriate there since we are three cool cats, right?
No, that's right. Oh, you know, I didn't even get that. I didn't even get that part.
That's why your mic's going to be muted.
Two cool cats. All right, this
little
is great.
Beatles.
That's right.
So what else we got, Jimmy?
Okay, we have a couple of other things. One is, let's see, I don't want to talk about China yet. I guess we're talking a little bit about China. Another legal thing I'm curious to know. Our legal man here can tell us. Turkey has condemned a French parliamentary vote which would make it a crime to deny that Armenians suffered genocide at the hands of the Turks. It provides for a year in jail and a 3,000 pound fine, the same punishment as that is imposed for denying the Nazi Holocaust.
It's a 30,000 pound fine.
30,000, right.
Yeah, well, they're getting around to doing this, like you said, thought crimes.
Thought crimes.
You know, here, what I would argue against this is, well, I guess then you can't argue anything pro-Turk and sort of anti-Armenian. You know, they're saying it's going to be a crime to deny that the Turks tried to commit genocide on the Armenians. Well, I guess that means also that you can't, for example, argue that the Armenians were a rebellious infidel group that should have been obeying Turkish law or anything like that. I mean, I guess you can't do anything pro-Turk and anti-Armenian during this time period, because that would be an implicit denial of the genocide.
But I mean,
and the list goes on.
And the list goes on. A year in jail, and I mean, how do you do something like this?
They're throwing them in jail in Austria over there when you deny the Holocaust these days.
You're kidding? No. Prison. You're lying to me.
No. Prison. Years in prison. If you're a British, say, novelist.
I remember saw that. Yeah, that one. Yeah. Right. Now, did he get out or he's in?
No, he's in prison.
He's in
Turkey.
He's in the rape room.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have denied it, man. Yeah. That's probably not what he's doing right now.
No, I don't think so. No, that's his... His yeah. mate is. Okay, yes. Okay, well, speaking of things that, of course, talk about thought stuff, to move on, there's a new study. What would we do without studies?
Oh, we love studies.
We love studies. It claims that Iraq's excess death toll is 655,000.
That's the civilian deaths. So right. This for studies.
Over and above, right. Kill them all.
kill all the
humans.
Kill
right. But I mean, this is like 10 times or 20 times the number that's supposedly out there.
Well, the other groups count up the bodies, the actual bodies.
The actual bodies.
Right. And this group went around bodies. And sort of asked who all was missing from your house,
okay,
so to speak.
But there's been a huge exodus recently from people. Actually, they call it a silent exodus because they're about 100,000 people a year or something like that are blazing out of Iraq. You know,
really
just tired of it. Yeah,
somebody said that in Afghanistan there were people were coming back now that there were it was quote stabilized or else the poppies.
I'd say they got all the drugs and stuff over there.
I of course who knows. When you realize that what Iraq's like the biggest Texas or something, right?
Yes.
And so when we think about our border here, which is porous, shall we say.
Of course, they're going to stop that all up with that 700-mile fence.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Out of the 2,500 miles.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Like sticking one of those lollipop sticks in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
right underneath this thing, it's okay.
That's right.
You see the fat man that got stuck in the tube?
No.
In
YouTube?
He was just trying to crawl in there and he got stuck in the tube. And the problem was that there was about 70 other people that were wanting to go through. For some reason, they put all the big people up front and this one guy got stuck and clogged up their whole operation.
What tube?
A tube to go from Mexico to the U.S.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
I think we were talking about Niagara Falls, and all of a sudden we went back to New Mexico.
No, we're just digressing everywhere.
Jesus. Talk about the great leap backward.
Thank you for listening to part one of the October 14th Jimmy Doan podcast. If you need part two, you can download it from jimmydoan.com.